Hello and welcome to the MAM Panel 4. I'm so excited that you're here with us, and this is a unique opportunity to hear from all of these male experts and to get insights into the hearts and minds of men. And the whole intention of this series is to help you to understand more about men, women, relationships, and how we can create those win-win scenarios for those deeply satisfying relationships. I'm your host, Michelle Marchand Johnson, and I have here with me a wonderful returning guest, and that's the wonderful Roy Biancalana. Hi, Roy.
Hey there.
Sorry, I called you Ray. We're old friends. I don't know why that came out.
That's all right.
However, we're going to talk about a great topic today, and before we get into that, I just want to share a little intro. For those that may not be as familiar with your work, we'll get the formal stuff out of the way and we'll dive right in. Sound good?
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. Roy Biancalana is a certified relationship coach, a TV personality, and the author of two books, the latest of which is the number one bestseller, Attracting Lasting Love, Breaking Free of the Seven Barriers That Keep You Single. For the past 10 years, Roy's mission has been supporting single people in the art of attracting and creating conscious, lasting relationships. And you can learn more about him by visiting coachingroy.com, but we'll go into that later because we're going to offer your free gift. So, Roy,
yes.
We're going to talk about Fit to be Tied, very clever, cute title, the sevenfold path to authentic intimacy.
Right.
So to get started here, I know you have a lot to share and I want to give you as much time as possible, but I want to ask you a personal question first. So you have an interesting story and I'd like to kind of lead out with that, if you will. Would you be willing to start there and then we'll jump into how that relates to this topic?
Yeah, sure. Sure. Yeah, I really do like to start a little bit with my story. Because I often joke with my clients, you know, when you're listening to me, or if you ever even consider working with someone like myself, you're not hiring me to cut your grass, right? This is your love life.
Right.
So it's a big deal. So who am I? And why should you listen to me? And so I love to kind of let people know that being a relationship coach for me is, it's not like a job. It's what I feel like my calling is. And that's because my history had so much drama in it. Okay, I was married for 19 years. The relationship became functional, but platonic, right? We were brotherly, sisterly. We parented our son nicely. We didn't really argue a lot. There wasn't a whole lot of passion in the relationship one way or the other. It was just kind of friendly, okay? Well, I didn't want that the rest of my life. I don't think she did really either. So we went through a divorce and I immediately rebounded into a relationship. In fact, they sort of overlapped by a month or two there, into a relationship that was very much all chemistry. Okay, so I made up for lost time in terms and all that kind of stuff. So I was with that girl for 2.5 years. We were engaged to be married, and she dumped me 6 months before the wedding. Okay, and that devastated me. I'm talking like a year-long midlife crisis. Two of the major relationships in my life weren't working out, and I didn't know what to do with it, and I was a mess. So, like the idiot that I was at the time, I decided to go online and just join a bunch of dating sites thinking if I met somebody new, that would help. Well, that was not the best thing to do. It is what I did. I created a lot more drama and problems. Eventually, I recognized that I was the common denominator in all of these bad relationship pictures. And I decided that maybe I had to work on me. I was pointing the finger at my ex-wife and my ex-fiance, and it was all the women's fault, right? I finally kind of woke up and said, no, this is about you. This is not really about them. And I hired a coach. And I spent 2 years working with her, which in this profession, I mean, that's a long time, okay? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I spent an enormous amount of money, But I just knew that I was successful professionally, but my personal life wasn't. And if I didn't do something radical, I was just going to end up with the same experiences over and over again, like Groundhog Day, you know, but I'm the one in it and stuck in it. So I worked with a coach and it so transformed my life that when I got out of that, I was like, I want to do for other people what my coach just did for me. Because I was able to pretty quickly meet, date, marry, fall in love with the woman I'm still married to this day. It's been about 11 years now, and we're going strong. And so seeing how much my life had changed and how I'm able to create a relationship that had real chemistry and compatibility all in one, I just wanted to say, I want to give that to people. I want to take them on the same journey that I went on. I want to sort of have them look in the places within themselves, answer the same kind of questions I answered, because I didn't believe that I was special in the sense that the turnaround I went through, it was because of the things that I did, the questions that I asked, the processes that I went through. And I have learned since then that when people go on the same kind of journey I did, they come up with the same results, that they wake up to how they're creating these situations, getting in drama with their, how they believe about themselves, their personality blind spots, how their masculine or feminine energy gets stuck in those regards. So that's why I'm a coach. It's just like, I feel like I found a little bit of the key to transforming your love life and making it work. And I just want to turn that around and give it away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that. And I think a lot of us that are in this industry have found our way into doing this work that we're so passionate about. And like you said, feels like a calling through our own struggles and through the things that we learned and the things that we've gained in terms of things that helped us and being able to share those with other people. And it is a really satisfying work that can really feel like a calling. I can relate to what you're saying is what I'm telling
yeah.
you.
Oh yeah. When I get invited to a client's wedding, you know, which that happens pretty frequently. That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
I can't always go because they're all over the country. I have clients by phone all over the world, you know, it's so forth. But it sure is fun to get invited.
It is. It's deeply satisfying. And so I want to come back now to our topic, the fit to be tied topic.
Yeah.
Sevenfold path to authentic intimacy. So tell us more about this, why you chose this topic as a cute, clever title, fit to be tied.
Well, I chose it because now I've been coaching people for 13 years or something like that. And I'm starting sort of to see real patterns. I've worked with so many people now. I'm starting to be able to take all of that and kind of condense it and help my clients more quickly get to the root issues because I'm so familiar with these things. And one of the things that I've really discovered, and for all of you listening right now, I was like praying that you'll really hear me on this. Let me use an illustration. Imagine that I was a triathlon coach. Okay. I've never run a triathlon. If I have to go that far, I've got a car. Okay. So,
yeah.
but just imagine that you're wanting to get into triathlon and I'm a coach because I've won the Ironman. I have all this experience. And so you want to talk to someone about how to be successful in a triathlon. Okay. So we get together and you start asking me questions about, you know, what shoes to wear, you know, kind of how to get in the water because you swim first and how to navigate the mad dash in the water and not get drowned. And then you ask me questions about the transition from out of the water to onto the bike and from the bike to running. And then you ask me questions about the course. Where should I try to make up some time? And where should I conserve energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as that's going on, I'm, as a coach, I'm starting to recognize something that's bothering me. Like, I love the questions that you're asking, but they're all about race day. They're all about what you should do on the day of the race. Well, I've been a triathlon participant and a coach for a long time, and I can tell you, that stuff really doesn't matter as much as you better get your butt in shape. Like, right? Are you in condition for this? Can you swim 2.5 miles, bike 112, run a full marathon on the same day? Okay, so forget about all the race day stuff. You should be asking me about, am I in condition? Am I ready for such a grueling test? And if I've learned one thing about working with people, is that as a coach, I get race day questions all the time. They get me on the phone as my clients and like, Roy, like, what do I do on a date when a guy says this? Or how do I interpret that kind of behavior? Or where do I go to meet someone? What do I say? How do I get them to want to get my phone number? Right? They're asking me questions about race day, being the day that you meet someone, that moment that you meet someone, okay? That you bump into them, or you're fixed up, or you meet somebody at a networking event. There's a moment where you first meet somebody for the first time, even if you met online and you're on a first date. And if you're thinking about that, you're in trouble. Because just like the triathlon person, once you stand on that starting line, if you're not in shape, you're not going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to make it. And so when you meet that person and you're face to face, if you're not in shape, relationally in shape, and ready to create a real relationship, you're not going to go the distance.
Right.
Right. Anybody can start a relationship. Anybody can start a triathlon. Starting is not the hard part. Finishing is the hard part.
Okay? Right.
So I've really come to see that what I want people to focus more on is ask the question, not where do I go and how do I approach and what do I say and how do I get the first date, but am I ready for a relationship? Am I in shape? Okay. Mm-hmm. So from there, what I've really discovered, Michelle, is that there are, like, even if you're single, you're in a relationship. In fact, you're in 7 of them. At all times, no matter what our relationship status is, we are in 7 relationships on the inside of us. We're in a relationship with reality. We're in a relationship with our mind, the stories it tells. We're in a relationship with our own emotions. We're in a relationship with our past, all the mm-hmm. things that have happened to us.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a relationship with our inner truth, okay? We're in a relationship with we're in relationship to love itself. Okay, how do we really feel about love? Is it trapping me? Is it going to smother me? I mean, do I have to have it to live? And right, so I've identified these 7 inner relationships that if they are not strong, right? If they're not in shape, then your love life is never going to be the way it could. You're not going to make it. You're going to run into some trouble somewhere. You're not physically fit. So I'm writing a book right now that's called Relationship Bootcamp. Okay. So it's all about, you know, like going to the gym. I'm going to do a bootcamp. I'm going to kick my butt in a 6-week kind of thing. Well, my book has got 7 major workouts to work on these 7 areas of your life, sort of like to get you in shape so that when you meet that person, you're actually ready to connect in a meaningful, lasting way. And that's what I have found is if I have one message to people, it's work on you, get ready to relate in an authentic way. Don't think so much about where am I going to meet someone and what do I say and how do I approach them. And that stuff happens pretty much on its own sometimes. People met before the internet, right? My parents didn't have the internet, right? So the human race would not continue if people weren't hooking up. So it's like, no, you'll meet someone. The issue is when you do, like, we can talk about this, but like your relationship to your past, right? This is so unbelievably important. It's like, if you've been through a lot of pain, maybe a spouse cheated on you, or just, you know, you've had a lot of pain in your past. Trust has been broken. You've been deceived, lied to. Right? Who doesn't have some of that in their past? Okay. Mm-hmm. If you haven't let go of that, if you haven't processed that, what's going to happen is you're going to approach in the dating scene kind of seeing everybody through that pain. You're going to be worried about, oh, that guy could be a player too, like the last guy. Oh, you're going to be a liar or a cheater like my ex-husband was, right? And so when the past is still alive in you, it will make you suspicious. It will make your heart be a little guarded, a little closed. You'll put a wall up around you to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, walls, they will protect you, but they will keep you safe. They'll keep you single. Because I haven't met too many guys that go on a first date and bring the sledgehammer. Right? I'm on a first date. I got my sledgehammer to knock down your walls. Good men don't want to knock down walls.
Right.
They want to meet a woman whose heart is open and ready to play, you know, and right. But when you've been hurt and you have a callus protecting your heart and you haven't worked through your past, you end up sabotaging your love life because of those walls. Okay. So that's just one dimension of that. And that's what I mean that, okay, you go somewhere on Saturday night and you're out with your girlfriends, you know, and you meet some really cute guy. Okay, great. But if you have that baggage still going on that you haven't let go, it's going to affect the way you interact with that guy. You're not going to trust him, and he might be a really good guy.
Yeah,
and I can tell you, one of the benefits of the man panel is that I can give you feedback as a guy. While I understand this, the biggest turnoff that I ever experienced was when I felt like a woman was holding me responsible for something another guy did, right? I was having to jump through hoops. I was kind of being given the straight arm, you know, slow down, you know, I was being kind of interrogated almost. I mean, not really, but I could feel the fear, her fear. I could feel her suspicion. And I'm like, man, I know that guy was a jackass that hurt you, but I'm not him.
Right.
And I didn't really, there's a lot of women in the world. I didn't want to fight through all that. I just wanted your heart, you know? So you really need to approach your love life with a clean emotional slate. You got to clean that stuff away. Otherwise, it's going to mess you up and mess the other guy up and so forth. Now, how do you let go of your past, right? I mean, you've been hurt, deceived, betrayed, ghosted, gaslighted, all these words that are floating around now. Yeah, that takes a little bit of work. That takes an experienced coach like yourself, like me, who knows how to help a person let go of the past, take the walls down, and be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Be available, like emotionally available. I mean, women, and rightly so, criticize a lot of men that they're not emotionally available. Well, a lot of men experience women that way too. And when you have a past and you've got baggage, you know, in a sense, you're not letting your heart be available. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to let myself get hurt. Well, then you'll never let a guy get close enough to hurt you, right?
Yeah.
So we could spend the whole hour on that, just that. Seven of those like that.
Yeah, I think it's so key, because what you're talking about, these, you know, these relationships that you have with different aspects of yourself and your life, are so key and so important. I think this is why there are a lot of people out there, both men and women, that feel like, well, I'm doing all the right things, like all the right, quote unquote, things, but I'm still not having the success. Well, yeah, if there's a block, or if there's those beliefs that are limiting, or you're on guard, like you were describing the woman that you dated,
right,
you've got this wall up, then even if you're doing all the quote unquote right things in terms of creating opportunity for yourself, whether it be online or offline,
well,
like you said, you're going to sabotage things without meaning to. And the tricky part about this, I think, Roy, is that it's tricky sometimes to see our own stuff. We're too close to the trees to see the forest. And it's like, the analogy I sometimes use is it's like we look in a mirror every day. We see our reflection. We think we're seeing ourselves really clearly. We're not necessarily seeing the side view, heaven forbid the rear view. And it's tough. It's sometimes tough to really know what's really going on, to really identify that for yourself. So unfortunately, a lot of people stay stuck in that if they don't get support and aren't able to move through that. And that's why what we're talking about is so important here.
Well, yeah, that's what I learned from my coach, is I discovered my blind spots. Like, I didn't know that I was believing certain things, that I was showing up in a certain way, that I had a certain attitude. She was able, because we were getting to know each other, to give feedback, right? Because you can't see yourself. You can't see your own blind spots. That's the benefit of a good coach, is that they're able to get at and help you see how you are sabotaging yourself. It's really not the men, in my case, the women. It's something you're doing that you don't know. So like my work is helping people become more self-aware, right? More conscious of ways that they're unconsciously sabotaging themselves. And one of those is by, do you know the impact that your past is still having on you? You know, you're wearing that fear in a way that people can feel.
Mm-hmm.
That's just one of them.
Yeah.
Another one we could talk about would be the one about your relationship to your inner truth. Okay. One thing that's funny about relationships, and we could try this with everybody that's watching right now. I want to know, does anybody not want to be in a relationship that's characterized by honesty and openness, authenticity, you know, and transparency, right? Everybody wants that. Nobody says, no, I want to be in a relationship where we lie to each other, we play games.
Nobody says that.
We manipulate. Right. Now, we want to be in this open, transparent, honest, authentic relationship. But what happens so much in the beginning when we're dating someone is, because we're afraid of being rejected or hurt or misunderstood, we play games. Like, we don't from the very beginning speak authentically and honestly. We don't reveal ourselves to a person. We sort of, I'm going to show them the part that I think they want to see, or I'm going to show them the part that I think I can control, or, you know what I mean? It's a natural instinct, because you want them to like you, to sort of withhold something that you think they might not approve of, whether it's an opinion or a belief or an attitude or something like that. So in a sense, what happens is you start dating someone and they fall in love with you, but you never get to feel really safe, because they've fallen in love with the part you've shown them.
Right.
But you sort of know, well, you don't really know the real me. So you never get to feel very secure. And the way you start a relationship is the way it goes. So if you're playing some sort of game in the beginning, you end up in a gamey relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So I challenge my clients as much as possible, start from the beginning and sort of show up in the way that you want a relationship to be, which is reveal. Tell the truth about what you're feeling, about what you're wanting, about what you're experiencing, about what you like, about what you don't like, even concerning them. Just like be real, be raw. One of my favorite things in the Bible is when in Genesis chapter 2, you know, the first mythical couple, you know, Adam and Eve, they're in paradise, okay? And the text actually says that they were in the garden and they were both naked and unashamed. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now that doesn't mean they had not gone to the Paradise Mall and bought some Calvin Kleins. It's not about clothes, okay? It means that they were there and nothing was covered up. There were no secrets. There were nothing hidden. They were exposed. They were laid bare before one another, and there was no judgment. There was no shame. It's like Adam says, Eve, I see you. I see everything about you, and I love you. And she's like, Adam, I see you. There's no secret here. I see exactly who you are, and I love you. That was paradise. But we don't do that, right? We don't get naked on our first date.
Mm-hmm. Right?
We don't take our clothes off and show a person who we are. Even to the point where what if you're on a date or situation and a guy says something that sort of hurts your feelings? Well, I don't want to tell my dad about that because he'll think I'm a bitch. Or he'll think I'm a drama queen. So you withhold that. And now you play. What would happen if you just said, I just want you to know me. Over here, my feelings just got hurt by what you said. I kind of feel angry about that, and I wanted you to know that. I just want you to know me. I didn't like that at all. I was offended by that. Now, he could judge you and reject you and walk away. Very possible. Or he could respond to that in some way where it builds a more meaningful connection. The point is, we have an opportunity to say that I want to be in a relationship that's open and honest and transparent and authentic. Well, do it from the very beginning. Like, get naked. Show a man your feelings, your thoughts. You know, so you're on a date with this guy and he's really cute, and you're over here thinking, oh my God, I hope we have a second date. Say that. Just say, I'm over here and I'm having the thought, and I'm a little nervous to say this to you because I feel kind of scared right now, but I'm over here thinking, I hope we have a second date because you're really cute. Oh, I could never say that because then he knows, you know, and he's got all the power. What? No, right. You just showed him your heart. If a guy likes you, I would be totally turned on by that. Oh, I like you, and now I know you like me. We're in business here.
Right.
Because there's authenticity there. Now, if that scares me off, well, that just means I'm just not interested in you. And that's better, too. You're not going to waste any time.
Right.
So it's that kind of thing. You know, what's your relationship to your inner truth? Are you ashamed of it? Do you judge yourself? Do you want to hide it? Or do you feel comfortable in your skin enough to let a guy know what you're thinking and feeling and wanting, even if you're turned off by something or angered by something? Or, you know, I'm just gonna be real and be raw.
Mm-hmm.
If he says, I love that about you. I love that you're honest. Like, I don't have to guess what you're thinking. Now you're in business. If he doesn't like that, it's because he wants a woman who wants to play games. Manipulate, control, not say this, say more of that. Oh, I can't say it that way. Don't want to hurt his feelings. You know, if a guy likes that, well, he wants a gamey relationship.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And this is so important for several reasons, but one that comes to mind is that at the end of the day, we all want to be loved for who we really are, not who we might be pretending to be. Also, eventually, whatever mask might have been there is going to come off. And at the end of the day, it's like one of the best filters. When you're being authentic, you're going to attract in the right people. The people that are going to see the real you and be attracted to that are going to be more of the right people for you than the ones you're trying to turn yourself into a pretzel for.
Yeah.
And so this is, you know, this is just such a key piece to having a great relationship. And another thing that I think is really important here is that kind of, you know, ironically, we think that, you know, showing the best, most polished, most perfect version of ourselves is what people want to see. And in fact, it's when we show that vulnerability, that realness, that authenticity, that people can actually relate to us more. And it's like, you know, you and I, Roy, for example, you know, we work in this industry where we're helping people in their relationships. There may be people here listening today that may not resonate with me or may not resonate with you. They may resonate more with you than with me, whatever. We're putting ourselves in a position where people, if they resonate with us, our message, what we stand for, who we are, then they're our people. They're our tribe. And it's okay if they're not our tribe. And it's kind of like easier to say that perhaps in more of a business type situation than in a more personal situation with dating. But if you can kind of frame it up that way and recognize being the most real, authentic version of you, it's not going to mean you attract everybody. No. It's not going to mean that you're going to be for every man or every woman, but it does mean that the right people, the people that would more likely be attracted to you and resonate with who you are going to be able to see you better. And hence you're more likely to draw them in. So it helps avoid a lot of the wrong relationships, the wrong matches. And that's what I meant when I said it's a great filter.
Oh, it is. It is. Right. I mean, there's a saying, you know, oh, the honeymoon's over. And to me, what that means is that after a while, a person ends up getting to see the real you. It's like, oh my God, the honeymoon's over, right? Now, what does that mean? That means that they have been falling in love with some kind of image that you have presented, and now they're starting to see the real you. And that's the trouble in the romance phase, is yeah, we're all sort of putting our best foot forward and so forth. And I'm not saying go on a date wearing a, you know, t-shirt and a pair of shorts and not fixing your hair. But I am saying, take the risk of letting a person know who you are and what makes you tick. You know, we're talking to women here, right? So many women feel like their emotional flow, if they actually were honest with a man about the emotions that they feel, that it would scare the hell out of him and he would run for the door. Like, he could never handle my flow. I just got so much going on in here, right? So they feel ashamed of their own emotions, their own wildness, okay? Their own, boy, I mean, I can be all over the map, right? And so you just try to damper that down and you sort of try to hide that, but then that blocks your own energy because now you're suppressing yourself. And then the guy never gets a chance to show you he can handle you. And he's never actually falling in love with you. He's falling in love with this woman who's so controlled. I really love Jane. You know, she's just, not my phone. what happens is when your phone's connected to your computer, it rings.
Exactly. We'll just say it's someone's Mr. Wright calling in right now.
Yeah.
And I'm out here, ladies.
It is from North Carolina somewhere, probably a sales call. Yeah, so part of what the work I do with my female clients is to help them get to the place where they just say, I'm just not going to be anything other than myself. And if a guy can't handle me, he's just not the right guy for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes work to get that free. It takes work to love your own, what, neuroticness, right? I mean, we're all neurotic. We're all weird people. We all have our stuff from our past and our childhood that makes us kind of weird. I mean, my wife is weird. I'm weird. She'd be the first one to tell you, oh my God, my husband's so neurotic, right? But she knows that about me, and she's still here. She loves me. So I feel really loved. If she didn't know that about me, I would have that fear of being found out, right? So it's this deeper kind of stuff. We haven't even talked about that voice in your head that tells stories about.
Oh yeah, the voice.
What guys want, and what's this? Oh, this is why he's saying that, and all that noise in your head. We haven't talked about how to manage your emotions. We haven't talked to. I mean, the biggest thing is, how do you feel about being single? If it's a problem that needs to be fixed, if you basically are not in a place where this is the day the Lord has made, I'm single. That's okay. I'm open to meeting someone, but it's not a problem. I'm trusting the way life is unfolding, and I'm relaxed. I'm not trying too hard. In other words, I won't be needy. I won't act desperate. I won't settle for some guy who's good enough, right? If you're really okay with reality, in this moment, I'm single and it's fine. I'm not craving for it to be different. If you're really rested in that, that changes everything you do. Mm-hmm. Because now I'm not going to put up with something with some guy because I'm okay being alone. I'm not going to settle for some guy because, you know, I can't be alone. I'm okay being alone. And when you're comfortable and it's not a problem being single, it's not, oh God, something's wrong with me, right? When you're comfortable with it, you're more attractive because you're just relaxed. You can be more playful with men because you're not trying to have any outcome, right?
Well, you show up energetically different when you're feeling good about who you are and good about your life than if you're feeling like,
right.
Find someone right now or my life is over.
Right. So it's easy for us to say, but a woman who's 38 years old and wants to be a mother and she's not married, how does she relax? How does she do the spiritual work of trusting life so that she's not filled with anxiety and worry and tries to make a guy be better than he probably is just because I think he likes me and he wants to have kids, right? So it's easy to say, but you know what I do, what I'm sure you do, is there's ways to work with people that feel like, you know, I can't quiet that voice in my head. I don't know how to handle my emotions. I'm worried I'm never going to meet someone and I'm going to die alone. And I, you know, so that's, those are the people that I want to call me. Like, help me learn to do that. I know I need to do that, but I don't know how to do it. It's like, I want to play golf. I can see it on TV. I know what I should do, but I can't do it.
Right.
Right? And that's what I am. I'm a coach. I help people learn how to do these things, not just tell them, just go figure it out on your own. No, there's tricks.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's shortcuts, so you don't have to do it all the hard way. the more painful way.
Right.
Because don't you find, Roy, that life keeps offering us the same opportunities for growth until we kind of figure it out? different different ways, but they keep showing up.
Right. I definitely believe that the universe is devoted to our evolution. Mm-hmm. And whatever we need to grow is what's going to keep coming. And perhaps that's a challenge. Perhaps that's a repeating kind of situation. But right. I mean, we will sometimes experience some of the same things if we haven't learned those lessons. And And I just have such a heart to work with people who are like, my love life is not what I want it to be, and I don't know why, and I don't know what to do, but I'm willing to work on myself.
Mm-hmm.
If that's you, I mean, call me. That's what when a person says, I'm like going to the gym, I'm out of shape, but I'm willing to work. I'm willing to eat right. I'm willing to do my workouts. I'm willing to be here, you know, regularly. Any fitness trainer would say, that's a dream. I can help you. Same way for me. If a person's willing to say, it's not them, I got to grow. I got to get in shape. And I'm willing to do the work to get my butt in relationship shape because I'm sick of all the drama and problems I've had in my past. That to me is like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this has been a great conversation, and there's so much here. I mean, we could talk all day here on these various topics. Each one of them we could go very deep with, and I know we've just scratched the surface, but you're going to be having a book coming out, right?
Yes, it's going to be probably 4 or 5 months before it's actually available. I'm almost done, but then there's all kinds of preparation and launch stuff.
Right, right. But to come.
Yes.
So, Roy, and you also have a free gift, which is your number one best-selling book, right? You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Right. Yes. That book is called Attracting Lasting Love, Breaking Free of the 7 Barriers That Keep You Single. It's a different topic than the book I'm writing now, but the idea is that there are things that we are doing that are blocking love, are sabotaging ourselves. And that book looks at those 7 things. And you know, it's been really well received, and you're going to get it for free. And it's probably going to raise up some issues. A lot of times people read the book and they're like, oh, barrier number 2, which has to do a little bit with the past, or barrier number 4 has to do with what I call a relationship persona. This is I have to be this kind of woman to get a man to like me kind of thing. We all do that. Mm-hmm. So when they read that, they're like, oh, man, I need help with that. And so very often the book brings up the issue and then they come to me and we do one-on-one work to make it more individualized and applied to their own experience. Yeah, so it's really cool. And you get it for free.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. And for everyone listening, you just click on the link below this video or audio that you're listening from, and that will take you to Roy's free gift. Because I know we've just touched the surface of what you have to share, and I know a lot of the listeners will want to stay in touch with you. So, Roy, I want to thank you for showing up again, for being part of the Man Panel 4. Yeah.
Have we told them my website, coachingwithroy.com?
I don't know that we have, but I think this link, if they sign up here, they're on your site, right?
That's true. Well, thank you.
Okay, so great to have you again. And ladies, we're so grateful for your presence here and for your commitment to have great love and a great life and your commitment to yourself, because the fact that you're here speaks well of you. So get Roy's gift by clicking on the link below. Be sure to check out the VIP package, and we will see you for more of the Man Panel. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.